Says, why does it put together one who shechts on Shabbos and Yom Kippur? It doesn't say shechet b'yantav because yantav you're allowed to shecht. There's no avera. So it says Shabbos Yom Kippur when you're not allowed to shecht. So what's really the Gemara's question? Why does it put Shabbos with Yom Kippur? I would have said because both of them is forbidden to shecht. So the Gemara says more than that. That just like on Yom Kippur the shechita is good, but you can't eat it today. So on Shabbos also the shechita is good, but you can't eat it today. Why can't you eat it today? What's the issue? So the Gemara says it's a machlekes hatanoim, and the Mishnah goes like Reb Yudah. Which Reb Yudah, when Reb Yudah? So that's going to be the whole discussion. It's going to go on and on. So initially the Gemara thought it's Reb Yudah by Muktzeh. Then the Gemara says, no, it's Reb Yudah by Amavashal b'Shabbos, the penalty. One who cooks on Shabbos, one who shechts on Shabbos, maybe the Mishnah goes that he shechted b'shoigeg. And the Shoigeg is only Reb Yudah, Kamsa Shogot Tomezit. That's what we're going to learn in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I don't really understand why. They said the fact that Shabbos is put together with Yom Kippur is a right that on Shabbos you're not allowed to eat it. Maybe it's put together because they're both forbidden. On Yom Tov you're allowed to shecht, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to shecht. The Gemara says, put together in the Mishnah to tell you that you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So first the Gemara says, hey, Reb Yudah, which Reb Yudah is it? That's unusual. Usually we say a stam Mishnah means an anonymous Mishnah has no name. Usually the Mishnahs tell you who's speaking. Here it doesn't say who's speaking. So usually when you have a stam Mishnah, the stam Mishnah Reb Meir. Here the Gemara is going to, the second pshat, the final pshat the Gemara is going to give is that this is really a machlek is a Meir Reb Yudah and it's stam Mishnah the Loik Reb Meir. The first pshat is machlek is Reb Yudah Reb Shimon and Hilchas Muktzeh. What does Reb Meir hold? I don't know. You have to fish through Shas to see what Reb Meir holds. But the second shot in the Gemara is it's a stam Mishnah like Reb Yudah against Reb Meir said that's not impossible, but it's very rare that you have a stam Mishnah the loike Reb Meir and ke Reb Yudah the barplukta of Reb Meir in disagreement with Reb Meir. Rare. Okay. What's the story with Muktzeh? What's the story with Muktzeh? So there are different kinds of Muktzeh. There's Huktzeh l'mitzvasoi. Huktzeh l'mitzvasoi, the Ramban says is a din daraisa. The Pasuk says that we must have discussed it already this year, no? The Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkos Taso L'chol Shivas Yomim V'os B'chom Migron L'chom Yikvecho. So the Pasuk Pshat and the Pasuk is, you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkos for a duration of 7 days at that season of the year that you're going to gather in the food V'os B'chom Migron L'chom Yikvecho, because in Eretz Yisrael, that area in the world, it doesn't rain. Half a year, it's the dry season. And it's going to start raining after Sukkot, so that's the in-gathering season. You're going to bring in, you're going to bring the food into the house that it shouldn't get ruined by the rain. That's the Pashup Shat in the Pas. So the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation. They're not disagreeing that that's Pashup Shat in the Pasik. And I'm here to the Pshuta, Pashup Shat is correct. But like the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Gemara never said, Ein by Mikra Ela Pshuta. Gemara never said, only Pshuta Shal Mikra is correct. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there's more than one level of interpretation in any given pasuk. So there's an additional level of interpretation. So you leave out the word Chag for a moment, and you read the pasuk Sukkos Tasalucha. You should construct Sukkos Tasavulamen Oseh. Shivas Yomim. The Sukkos should be stirred enough to last for 7 days. And what should the Sukkah be made from? What the Schach? The Sukkah is really the Schach. The walls are not really the sukkah. The schach is a sukkah because it's mesach. Mesach means it makes shade. Schach means that it makes shade. So what should the schach consist of? Should be psolas garm v'yek. What's left over, after you take off the oichel. The oichel is dover ha-mekabel tumah. So the psolas garm v'yekim. That means you need three conditions. Should be gidul karka, should be tolosh, and it should be dover shein ha-mekabel tumah. So that's the additional level of interpretation. The Pshuta Shal Mikra means you should celebrate the holiday of Sukkos for the duration of 7 days at this season of the year. And the additional level of interpretation is telling us that you should construct the Sukkah. Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha, you should do Asiyah, Tasa V'lamin Asay. The Sukkah should be stirred enough to last for 7 days. If it's going to fall apart after 4 days, you're not even yet to the first 4 days of Sukkos. And the schashit consists of bas b'cham b'garnei chamekvech. So this is a very nice additional level of interpretation, but the word chag doesn't fit in. The word chag means a holiday. So Gemara says, no, the word chag does not mean a holiday. The word chag is a reference to the korban chagiga that you're supposed to bring on. Sholosh regalim, The Gemara has a Tosefta in the first Perek in Chagiga. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta from the first Perek in Chagiga. The Gimel Mitzvahs and the Stavi Yisrael Bali Yosom LeRegel. When the Jews are Ola Regel and Pesel Shavuot Sukkos, they're obligated to bring three korbanos, Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. The Riyah is Oilas Riyah, and Riyah Chagiga is Shalmei Chagiga, and Simcha is Shalmei Simcha. So one is obligated to bring a korban Chagiga. We refer to Chag HaMatzah, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos as a Chag because it's a holiday on which you're obligated to bring Shalmei Chagiga. We wouldn't refer to Chag Purim or Chag HaUrim, Chanukah, Chag. In modern Hebrew, Chag means a holiday. Chag HaSmicha. But in biblical Hebrew, the word Chag refers to a holiday on which you're obligated to bring a Korban Chagiga. On Shmini Atzeres is a regal bifnei atzma. You're not obligated to bring another Chagiga. You're mechuyev to bring a Chagiga on Sukkos. You're not mechuyev to bring another Chagiga on Shmini Atzeres, which is a yontav to its own. So that's why the Ramon Shulchan Aruch says when you daven Shmini Esrei or you bench on Shmini Atzeres, you shouldn't say B'yom HaShmini Chagu Atzeres Hazeh. So strictly speaking, it's not a chag. The davening should be in a biblical Hebrew. In a biblical Hebrew, Shmini Atzeres is not called a chag. That's a question. Is that premise correct, that the davening is supposed to be in biblical Hebrew? Why can't you daven in Loshem B'nei Adam? So that's the premise of the whole Sefer Avudram. The whole Avudram is based on that assumption, that the davening should be in a biblical Hebrew. And in Loshem B'nei Adam, we do refer to Shmini Atzeres as chag. The Taz quotes a Mishnah like that in the Dorim. In the Dorim, halacha chaloshim liyod. Person takes a neder. I will not eat potato chips until after Sukkos is over. Until after Chaga Sukkos is over. So the Mishnah says Chaga Sukkos and loshim liyod means till after Shmini Atzer. It doesn't mean till after Sukkos. So loshim liyod, we do refer to Shmini Atzer as chag. But the Taz explains. But the davening, the premise is that davening is supposed to be in a biblical Hebrew. The Netziv, when he was a teenager, wrote a commentary on the Shiltas. He had an einfalt to write a commentary on the Shiltas. And the one who turned out later to be his brother-in-law, the author of Doruch HaShulchan, the Netziv's family name was Berlin, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. So his sister married the author of Doruch HaShulchan. So his brother-in-law, the author of Doruch HaShulchan also, wrote a commentary on the Shiltas. Einfalt. Two people in the same generation had the same einfall to write a commentary on the Shiltas. So then it's even his commentary on the Shiltas. Takes issue with the whole premise of the Avudram. He says the whole premise is wrong. It throws the whole sefer out in the garbage. The whole Avudram is based on the assumption that the davening, all the brachas and all the tefillas, everything is supposed to be in a biblical Hebrew. So he claims he has a right from a Gemara about Bari Min Mizonis, a Gemara in Brachas, that you see from the Gemara that the Brachas don't have to be in biblical Hebrew. It could be according to Loshem Le'odim. But okay, he has a good point. It's a strong right from the Gemara. He'll get rid of the whole Sefer Avudram. The whole premise of Avudram is the davening and the Brachas are supposed to be in a biblical Hebrew. And he gives you the mokad for every phrase and every bracha and every tefillah where the phrase appears in biblical Hebrew. But that's what we in Shulchan Aruch, we usually assume like the Avudram, that everything is supposed to be in biblical Hebrew. So the word chag doesn't really, in modern Hebrew, we would call it a chag asmicha. The Yeshiva is having a chag asmicha this year. In Europe, they called it the chag asmicha. When Lublin Yeshiva had, they gave smicha to a lot of students, they called it a chag asmicha. But in biblical Hebrew, the Rama says it's only called a chag if it's a holiday on which you bring a korban, an oilas, a shalmei chagiga. So Purim would not be called chag Purim, and Chanukah would not be called chag haurim, the holiday of the lights. Chag is a technical term that only refers to yontav when you bring a shalmei chagiga. So getting back again to the pasuk, so the additional level of interpretation interprets the pasuk that is talking about constructing the sukkah. Sukkah is tasalacha, she constructs the sukkah, but the word chag appears. How can you say it goes on, the additional level of interpretation goes on constructing a sukkah? The Gemara says the sukkah is chag, a sukkah is hyphenated, the sukkah is hukash lachag. Just like a shem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga, just like a korban chagiga, shalmei chagiga is Hegdish, it's Kochim Kalim. There's no din of me'ila on it because it's not kochi kochim. There's only me'ila and kochi kochim. And oila achatas anoshim is kochi kochim. But a shlamim is a kochim kalim. But there is a din, anisa me'ila. Posh pshat anisa me'ila is a din daraisa al pi pashtus. And mishanim et samach leikas. But the isa me'ila by kochim kalim is daraisa de rabban. Here the Gemara seems to be assuming, the Gemara says, keshem shachal shem shamayim ala chagige, just like the chagige is also the honest memenu for your own purposes, kach chal shem shamayim ala sukkah, the sukkah is hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. So the Gemara seems to be assuming that the isa me'ila by kochim kalim is an isa deraisa. The Rashba in the end of the second parak in Kiddushin quotes a machlekes harishonim about that, because the Mishnah is a me'ila. Right, it's an expression that's repeated quite a few times in the Mishnayos. You have certain types of hegdush that's like nenim v'lay marlim. You're not allowed to get hanoi, but if you got hanoi, you don't have to bring an asham ne'ilos. So the Mishnah has on a lot of things that it's clearly only lenenim midrabbanan. It's only lenenim midrabbanan. And then the Mishnah has the exact same expression by kochim kalim. It says lenenim v'lay marlim. You're not allowed to get hanoi. So half of the Rishonim assume Lainanin by Kochim Kalim is only the Rabban. And the others assume no, by Kochim Kalim it's an Isa Derais. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim thought that it's inconceivable that it should only be an Isa Derabban. Inconceivable, height, inconceivable. More than half of the Rishonim say it like that, that the Isa Mila is only with the Rabban. The Samech also holds that it's inconceivable, but he gives a different marker. He dug up a sheet of Mukubetzes, I think, in the beginning of Zvachim. It has a different reason why. It's Bal Yachal. That's why. Since if someone was Magdish, the Kochim Kalim, someone was Magdish it, so since the Iser Hanoi was Chal Ayidei Hakdoshe, so whoever will get Hanoi from it will be in violation of Bal Yachal. I'm not the one who was Magdish it. Someone else was Magdish it. Still, the Ran and the Dharm says that the one who gets Hanoi will be in violation of Bal Yachal. Okay. So we learn from the pasuk, that's what the Ramban writes, that Huktzel Mitzvasa, the original pasuk Huktzel Mitzvasa says by the sukkah, that Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim Ala Chagige, Kachal Shem Shamayim Ala Sukkah. Then he more extends it to Esrog, the Esrog is Huktzel Mitzvasa, and the Hadassah Huktzel Mitzvasa. Esrog is Huktzel Mitzvasa, you're not allowed to eat it. The Hadassah Huktzel Mitzvasa, you're not allowed to smell it. The Esrog, you are allowed to smell. Because the Iker Hishtamshas have been asked weeks to eat it. So it's only Huktzel Mitzvah for eating. The Hadassim, the Iker Hishtamshas, is to smell it. It's Huktzel Mitzvah for smelling. So the Ramban writes that that Muktzah, that's Muktzah Daraisa. Tosfos writes that Muktzah is only the Rabbanan by the Sukkah. Muktzah is only the Rabbanan. Chal Shem Shemaim is a Din Daraisa. So Tosfos says that Tosfos understood that Huktzel Mitzvah and Chal Shem Shemaim are not the same thing. The Ramban says, no, that's what it means, Huktzel Mitzvah. Kishem shachal shem shamayim ala chagiga. Kachal shemayim, chal shem shamayim ala sukkah, on the esreg and on the hadassim. And the Ramban's opinion is that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is also huktzel mitzvasa. That the Beis HaKnesses is a building that enables you to daven better. Not that it enables you to daven, you can daven at home also, but it enables you to daven better, so the din that you're not allowed to get hanor from a Beis HaKnesses is a din deraisa. Kol zman that the Beis HaKnesses is miyuchad for tefillah. Let's say after Sukkot is over, what do you do with the esrog? You throw it out in the garbage. Why? It's chal shem shemaim, but it's only chal shem shemaim bizman hamitzvah. After the zman hamitzvah is up, it's no longer chal shem shemaim. So the Ramban's opinion is that a hook to the mitzvah of a Beis HaKnesses, kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a din deraisa, hook to the mitzvah. Right? Calls man, the Jews live in the neighborhood and they use this building. Let's say they built another shul and nobody davens anymore in this shul. Everybody davens in the other shul. So Minat Torah, that's it. Minat Torah, the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses vanishes into thin air. I think Gemara says in Megillah, you have to sell the shul with the Zayin Tuv here, but my Medan Shehu here. They have to have the members of the board have to sell it with the approval of all the members, and the money that they get, they have to use Malam HaKodesh or Lomar Eden, is Teifas Domov. That's all Midir Rabbanim, Ramban says. That's all Midir Rabbanim. And after, once the people stop using the shul, if they went away for the summer, but they plan to come back after the summer, so it's still Chal Shem Shamayim. It's still Bizman HaMitzvah. But let's say have a Shabbos Dikatalis and a weekday Talis. So Shechta. You say, when Shabbos is over, so the Shabbos Digitalis is no longer hooked to the mitzvah. So no, I plan to wear it next Shabbos and next Shabbos and next Shabbos. If I have a talis that's so worn out and so yellow that I don't, my wife bought me a new one. I'm not going to wear the old one anymore. So if I can donate it to the shul, so it's still Chal Shem Shamayim on the talis. I should give it to the shul. The gabbai doesn't want it because he has more than enough talis. I want to give it to a poor man who lives down the block. Poor man doesn't want it either. He doesn't want this worn out talis. But talis, and no one wants to wear it. So the Minat Torah, it's hooked to the mitzvah, so it calls man that it's still Bizman HaMitzvah. And once it's no longer going to be used for a mitzvah, so it's no longer hooked to the mitzvah. So that's the Ramban Shita. He says that hooked to the mitzvah, so by all mitzvahs is deraisa. You're not allowed to use it for your own personal purposes. And it's learned up in the word chag, chag asukas, that just like chal shem shamayim ala chagigah, chal chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. Fine, so that's hooked to the mitzvah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what we call muktzah. Usually we don't talk about hooked to the mitzvah as muktzah. We're talking about over here muktzah. So what's muktzah? You're not allowed to handle muktzah. We usually assume you're not allowed to handle a pen and a pencil. The muktzah, strictly speaking, is not really muktzah. The pen and the pencil is called klisha malachta liisa, a hammer, a screwdriver. That's not muktzah. It's klisha malachta liisa. What's real muktzah? Money is real muktzah. Why? Why is money muktzah? So I'll be there because money is junk. The Gemara says, "Kol the tikkun rabbanon came there." I said, "Tikkun the chachamim pattern all the dinim rabbanon after dinim deraisa." So there is a din deraisa of kabbalas tuma. He said 1,000 times there are four categories of things that are mekabel tuma. Odom ekelim ochel mamashkin. Odom is only mekabel tuma if he's a Jewish odom. A nochri is not mekabel tuma. So the dinim are not exactly identical. It's pattern after ein deraisa din. Pattern after the din deraisa. So human beings are not considered muktzah. All of them, kelim, klei gelolim, klei avonim, klei adom are not mekabel tumah. But still, kelim are mekabel tumah. So all kelim, even a kli that's not mekabel tumah, still kelim are not considered muktzah. Ochlam amashkim, strictly speaking, ochlam amashkim are mekabel tumah only if it's meichel adom. It's meichel behemah. It's not mekabel tumah. But meichel behemah is also not muktzah. Whatever Zechel Mamashkim is not considered Muktzah. So cash, money, is not considered a Kli. It's not Mekabel Tumah. Why only these four things are Mekabel Tumah? Everything else is junk. The only things that are Mekabel Tumah are things that have Chashivas. So let's say you have twigs, fell off of a tree. Eitzim, pebbles, sand. Eitzim, abana v'yofar. Or Muktzah. Why? Because it's a davar sheni mekabel tumah. That's a gemara called akelim in Masechah Shabbos. So it says there that whatever the chachamim pattern, the din the rabbanon of muktzah along the lines of the din of the raisah. So kesh is considered a davar sheni bohish tamshus. You can use the money to buy items with it, but the money itself doesn't have any hishtamshus. So if you have, let's say, a hammer, a screwdriver, a pen, or a pencil, strictly speaking, that's not muktzah. That's klisha malach talisa. What's the difference aloch on a maise? Not allowed to handle either. Big difference. If you didn't clear off the table and you left a hammer, a screwdriver, pen, or a pencil on the table, and then you come home, you want to eat on Shabbos, and it's in the way, so that you're allowed to take the hammer off the table and put it away. That's letzorch mekoymai. Or let's say you have a tough nut to crack, and you can't crack the nut with the hand, so you're permitted to take the hammer to bang the nut. In order to crack open the nut, then you put away the hammer. You're permitted to handle a klisha malach talisa, letzorch gufa or letzorch mekoma. If it's in the way, I want to letzorch mekoma, or if it's letzorch gufa, I want to use the screwdriver face to open up a bottle. I want to use the hammer to crack open a nut or something like that. So that's letzorch gufa, letzorch mekoma. You're allowed to handle it. If it's muktzah mamish, if you left money on the table, you're not allowed to take the money off because tzorach l'mekomo. Or if you have eitzim avon or yofa, you're not allowed to handle it at all. So what do you do if you have the money on the table and you want to eat? It's not Shabbos dik. So it's usually assumed that you push it off with your elbow. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Mogen Avraham, that the prohibition, tiltal muktzah, was only introduced, tiltal biyadayim. If you handle it begufo, let's say you're going to kick, I'm going to push it off the table like this, then it's on the floor, then I'm going to kick the money to the bedroom and shine. I'll kick it away. So since I didn't handle it with my hands, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Mogen Avraham and those who shine him that The gzeira of tilta muktzah was only instituted if you handle it biyadayim. The Chazon Ish disagrees, and he's machmer on all of this, but he tainas that Rishonim don't seem to agree with what it says. But it's usually assumed, like the Mishnah Berurah who quoted Magen Avraham, that why did they introduce a prohibition of tilta muktzah? Why did they introduce it? So the Rambam gives you a whole explanation. The Rambam says the Torah prohibited 39 malachas, and the Torah wants that Shabbos should be noticeable, that it's a day of rest, that you're not doing malacha. So the Rambam says there are some people who are retired, and they don't do their laundry, and they don't cook their food, and they don't change their bed. They're in an assisted living facility. And the laundry is done by others, and the food is cooked by the moms. They don't lift a finger. They don't do any malachas all week long. So how is it going to be noticeable that Shabbos is a special day? The Rambam came up with this idea. You have to have a shvisa hanikeres. Should be noticeable, because today is Shabbos. You're not doing malachas. They never do any malachas. They never do any malachas all week long. So the Rambam says, that's why the rabbis introduced the prohibition of tilta muktzah, to have something additional on Shabbos. At least these retired people that don't lift a finger all week long, they should avoid handling muktzah, so it'll be noticeable that Shabbos is different from the rest of the week. So the Rabbi writes on the Rambam, I don't know where he got that from. In my Gemara it says that the prohibition of handling muktzah is a gzeira mishum hoitzoa. You're not allowed to carry in the street. So the rabbis don't want you to handle pens or pencils or screwdrivers or hammers or muktzah, because we're afraid you may carry it into the street. They really wanted to prohibit handling anything. You shouldn't be allowed to handle a chumash and a sitter and a talis and a plate and a fork and a knife. You shouldn't be allowed to handle anything because you're not allowed to carry it into the street. But that would make life impossible. So the rabbis just want to make life a little more difficult. They didn't want to make life impossible. So whatever is from the four things, other than the Kelim, Ochem, and Mashkin, that they never prohibited. That's a Dabash Yesh, but times that would be a Gzeresh and Reba Tzibi Cholim Lamed. But the thing is a piece of junk anyway. It's not, doesn't belong under the four categories of Dvarim Chashuvim, then a Makabal Tumas. That's not so important to be able to handle it. So they said, don't handle it at all. Gzeresh that you may carry it in the street. The rabbi said, that's what it says in my Gemara. This reason that the Rambam gave Shvisa and Ikeres, this doesn't say in the Gemara. So Tiltal Muktzah, the prohibition against handling Muktzah, that you're not allowed to handle Muktzah, that's clearly only Midrabbanan, Zerish and Miyotzi, that's the Gemara. The Rambam gave an additional explanation. Fine, you need a Shvisa and Ikeres. Then there's another din that Muktzah is also Bachila. If you have food that is Muktzah, so you're not allowed to eat it. Where does that come from? What is that based on? So Rashi's opinion is that that's a din deraisa. Rashi and Beitza on the first daf, and Rashi and Erevin, and Tosfos and Erevin disagrees with Rashi, and all the Rishonim disagree with Rashi. They say that the din of Muktzah Lachil is only Midrabbanan. According to Rashi, where is there a pasuk that says in Chumash? A din deraisa has to be based on a pasuk in Chumash. Where is that pasuk? So the pasuk says that the mon fell down in the midbar every day, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov. The mon did not fall down. So on erev Shabbos and erev Yom Tov, it fell down lechemishna, a double portion of mon, enough for Friday and for Shabbos. The double portion fell down. And if you had Yom Tov next to Shabbos, so the mon would neither fall down on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov, so a triple portion would fall down. That's what Shlomo Levilna writes. He was bothered with this kasha for years and years and years. How come we always have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos Yom Tov, and you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov? Why don't you need Lechem Mishulosh? Why don't you have to make Hamotzi on three Chalas? Because if it would be in the Midbar, if it would be Shabbos next to Yom Tov, three portions would fall down. I don't know. So I don't know why it doesn't bother me, but he says he was bothered with this kasha for many years. He gives some kind of funny answer. I don't know. It's safe at Binyan Shlomo. So the Pasuk says, when the mon will fall down on Friday, Esa Shatofu Eifu. They had to take the mon. The mon didn't always taste the same. They would cook it, they would bake it, they would make things out of it, whatever they wanted it to taste like, miraculously it would taste like that. So the pasuk says, Esa Shatofu Eifu, whatever you want to bake, bake. In other words, they would take the same mon, and they decide they're going to bake challahs for Shabbos. So it become challahs. They decide they're going to cook gefilte fish for Shabbos. So they cook them on, became gefilte fish. Then they decide they want to have chicken for Shabbos. Then they want to have cholent. So whatever they wanted to bake, to cook, whatever they would cook and bake, that's what it would taste like. So they would do all the malachas on Erev Shabbos. So it says, they should prepare everything on Erev Shabbos. Why Erev Shabbos? A Pasha Pshat, because there's no Heterach on that Pasha on Shabbos in Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to cook anything on Shabbos in Yom Kippur. That's what I would have said. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason why. That is the reason why. Because you're not allowed to cook Afi and Bishul Lazos on Shabbos. The Gemara says, there's more included here. Esa Shetofu Efu, Echina Esa Shevir, prepare everything because Suda Shabbos has to be a Suda Hashuva and it needs Hachana Mibod Yom. Suda Schol, what you eat in the weekdays, is not so important. You have to eat in order to remain alive, but it doesn't need Hachana in advance. The Suda Shabbos, Suda Yontif is supposed to be a Suda Hashuva, so you need Hachana in advance. So Rabbi came up with a din, and the Gemara says, Hachana the Rabbi is a din deraisa. If you have food that had an improper hachana, the pasuk says that the man didn't fall not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. Doesn't really say on Yontif. Tosis points out the first half in Beitza. You see from the Gemara, first half Beitza, the man didn't fall down on Yontif either. And the Chumash it doesn't really say, but the Gemara assumes like that. So the pasuk implies chol mechan the Shabbos v'chol mechan the Yontif. The mon didn't fall down, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So the hechina esa sheyaviyu, you have to make hachana, esa shetofu eifu, esa shetavash lebashel, suda Shabbos, suda Yom Tov, need hachana mibod yom. Not only because it's an isa bishol on Shabbos, even on Yom Tov when it's mutter, it's still suda Shabbos, Yom Tov, need hachana. So Rabbi understands from the posik, vehechina esa sheyaviyu, that chol mechan le Shabbos, v'chol mechan le Yom Tov, Ben Shabbos mechina leYantav, Ben Yantav mechina leShabbos. You're not supposed to have hachana on Shabbos for Yantav, or hachana on Yantav for Shabbos. It has to be bechol. The hachana should be bechol. So Rabbi came up with this din that rarely applies. Some Rishonim say only in one case it applies. Maybe two cases. If you have a hen lays an egg, you have Shabbos next to Yantav. So the hens lay eggs every other day. So the egg that's laid, the egg that's delivered, you say deliver an egg, how do you say that? Hen lays an egg. So the egg that the hen lays on the second day was nigma inside the rechem, I guess, of the hen yesterday. So if one day is Shabbos, one day is Yontif, whatever direction, that had an improper achana. Who did the Avera? Nobody did the Avera. It's natural. No one did any Avera. It's Min HaShemayim. Achana B'dei Shemayim is not Achana B'dei Yodim. Since it had an improper Achana, so Rabbi said, that's an Isa Deraisa. Suda Shabbos, Suda Siyontam, Nid Achana, Mibod Yom. And the understanding is, Ve'echina Se She'aviru, Chol Mechan LeShabbos, V'chol Mechan LeYontam. And Shabbos Mechina LeYontif, and Yontam Mechan LeShabbos. So if you had 2 days in a row, the Beitza is nulled on the second day, and the Gemara was yesterday that had an improper achana, so it's a din deraisa, you're not allowed to eat it on that day, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it. So Rashi understood the din to be an improper achana, even though improper, no one did an avera, it's a natural thing, no human being. Baruch Shalom did the avera. Who did that? No one did an avera. The hen did the avera, the hen is not Jewish. The hen can develop it in the body, the hen doesn't do it on purpose, it happens like that. But still, that's called an improper achana. So Rashi's opinion is, an improper achana is equivalent to a lack of achana. It didn't have a proper achana. A lack of achana is a din deraisa. You're not allowed to, muktzah l'achila is a din deraisa. You're not allowed to eat food that had an improper achana, because an improper achana is equivalent to a lack of achana. You're not allowed to eat food that didn't have achana, period. And Tosis and all the Mishnayim disagree with Rashi. What is he talking about? If it had an improper achana, Shabbos mechina leyontif, Yontif mechina leShabbos, you have 2 days in a row, Shabbos next to Yontif, an improper achana you're not allowed to eat. But a lack of achana, that's not a din deraisa. That's only a din derabban. So you have the same pasuk, v'hechina esa sheyaviyu. You have achana derabba. The Gemara says we assume he passed like Rabba. Rabba says that's a din deraisa. Beit Shnolda on the second day, The Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Beitzah, talks about Beitzah Shinal Debi Yontif, not 2 days in a row. Eretzel is only 1 day Yontif. So Beitzah was an old Yontif, Beitzah Shinal Debi Shabbos. So that's only in Issa the Rabbanim. Why did they make it the Rabbanim? Because if you would have had 2 days in a row, Shabbos next to Yontif, not Yontif Shenish Shalosh, Shabbos next to Yontif, then it would have been an Issa the Raisa to eat the Beitzah on the second day, because Chol Mech on the Shabbos, Vein Yontif Mech on the Shabbos. So the Midrabbanim, they prohibited even eating a Beitzah Shenol Dan Estam Shabbos the Yalmo, and Estam Yontif the Yalmo, even though it's not 2 days in a row. So again, so it's the whole institution of Muktzah L'Achila is based on this Pasuk. This Pasuk tells you a Din D'Oraisa, that if you had a Beitzah, where do you have a case like that? That you have Shabbos next to Yontif, that happens all the time. Shabbos next to Yontif, that's common. Where do you have a case that food was Uchan on Yontif for Shabbos? Where do you have such a case? Let's say you cook the food. You cook the food on Yontif for Shabbos. Are you allowed to cook the food on Yontif for Shabbos? We make an Erev Tavshilin to be allowed to cook the food on Yontif for Shabbos. Erev Tavshilin is only a takana midirabbanim. On the level of the Raisa, there's no need for Erev Tavshilin, and it accomplishes nothing. There's no need for it. It's only midirabbanim. So Tosfos says, why is it midirabbanim? Should be a hachana derabba. Should be an Issa deraisa. You cook the food on Yontif, you've got to eat it tomorrow. On Shabbos, Taisa says, that's not called Hachana de Rabba. So what is Hachana de Rabba? Only one case in the whole wide world. The Beit Shenolda. Okay? That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. There's a din of Hachana de Rabba, and Issa de Raisa. There's only one example, the Beit Shenolda on the second day. It was Nigba yesterday. There's a Taisa in Erev and has another case. The other case also only Mid Rabbanon. There are one or two cases where we apply Hachana de Rabba. Only one case on the level of the Raisa, the other case I run into the Rabbah. That's not called improper Hachana. So Rashi's opinion is that based on the Pasuk of Hachana the Rabbah, improper Hachana is equivalent to lack of Hachana. Lack of Hachana, that's the institution of Muktzah. All the Tanaim agree that Muktzah is the Raisa, not Muktzah L'Tiltel. Muktzah L'Tiltel is a Gzeira of Hoitzoah. We talk Muktzah L'Achila. Rashi's opinion is Muktzah L'Achila is a din d'oraisa. All the Rishonim disagree with Rashi because they quote a Gemara in Psochim. Taka the Gemara in Psochim at the end of the sugya of Erev Tavshilin. There, the Gemara in Erev Tavshilin is really a second perek in Beitzah, but there's a little bit of a discussion in Psochim, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, where the Gemara talks about using wine that is. Wine that is muktzah, you have wine that's muktzah, you're not allowed to use it to be menasach on the mizbeach. So the Gemara thought originally that if you have wine that's muktzah, it was an isa deraisa to use it to be menasach on the mizbeach. The Gemara proves that it's only the rabbanon, it's not a din deraisa. So the Gemara's havamina was muktzah deraisa. Which muktzah deraisa? Muktzah the tiltal, everybody knows only the rabbanon. It's gzeirah shem beyotzi. Means muktzah l'achila. So the habamina was that muktzah l'achila is the raisa. Then the Gemara backed out. So all the Rishonim say, see that Rashi is wrong. The Ferish Gemara, the muktzah is only the rabban. So the Sheikh Mukubetzes defends Rashi, and they explain, no, muktzah l'achila, Rashi all that's the raisa, because that's the din of hachana the rab. If you had an improper hachana, ein Shabbos mechina liyam v'yad mechina Shabbos, the only one and only case of the Beit Shenolda, that's the only case where you have hachana the rab. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. Strange. A pasuk in the Chumash, a din d'oraisa, only applies on one case in the whole wide world. Very strange.
If you're required to milk your cow on Shabbos, to make sure it's not uncomfortable or something, what about that milk? Does it have the same status as an egg?
We'll touch upon it a little bit when we'll get into the Gemara here. Okay, yeah. The Gemara's going to deal a little bit with that. Yeah. We would assume that it would be muktzah. Yeah. So so most of the Rishonim reject Rashi. They say only Hachana de Rabbas and Issa de Raisa had an improper Hachana. But if the food lacked Hachana, that the Gemara and Psochim, Daf Memeches, came to the conclusion that Mukta L'Achila is only the Rabban. And Rashi says, not true. The Gemara there is talking about using wine of Mukta to be Menasach on the Mizbeach, that the Gemara thought that you're consuming the wine. Or you're going to burn something that's muktzah on the mizbech. You're going to be maktivit on the mizbech. So consuming something that's muktzah is the equivalent to eating muktzah. So So just like eating muktzah is deraisa, so consuming hanoah shel kiloi, the Gemara thought it was also deraisa. The Gemara come to the conclusion, no, hanoah shel kiloi, using it in a fashion that you're consuming it, that's only the rabbanon. Mm-hmm. But eating muktzah is deraisa, Rashi held. Eating muktzah is deraisa. Achana de Rabba says, anything that had an improper achana is equivalent to a lack of achana. Lack of achana is an isa deraisa, the gabi eating. Isa shatofu, isa shatabatla basheli, you're not allowed to eat it unless it had a proper achana. If it had no achana, or an improper achana is equivalent to no achana, then Rashi holds it's an isa deraisa to eat it. But muktzah lehishtamshus, to consume it, to burn it on the mizbeach, that's only the rabban. So we're talking about different kinds of muktzah. Muktzah lemitzvah says a different story, the gamrei. That's the Ramban says. Muktzah lemitzvah says a din deraisa, that the Gemara learns that from the pasuk of Chag. Chal shem shamayim ala chagiga, chal shem shamayim ala sukkah, all tashmishi mitzvah. Tashmishi kedusha, have kedusha even lachas ma mitzvah. Let's say I have a pair of tefillin, I have a mezuzah. And after many years, the tefillin became posel, the mezuzah became posel, you can't correct it. So Gemara says you have to treat it with respect, even though if it became posel, you have to put it in the shemus. So let's say you have the cardboard boxes, you have a tefillin zekel, and you keep the tefillin. It's all worn out and it's torn, you want to buy a new one. So you're not allowed to throw out the old one. The old one is tashmishi kedusha. You have to put it in the shemus. So tashmishi kedusha, things that a Mishamah Sefer Torah, Tefillin and a Mezuzah, that has Kedusha, even after the Zman HaMitzvah is over. Tashmishe Mitzvah, Achal Shem Shemaim, is hooked to the Mitzvah, so the Zman HaMitzvah. After the Zman HaMitzvah is up, after no one davens in the Shul anymore, everybody moved away, so on the level of the Raisa, the Kedusha of the Shul vanishes into thin air, like the Esrog after Sukkot is over, like the Talis, after you bought a new Talis, and nobody wants the old Talis. The Zman HaMitzvah is up. So this is so hukten mitzvah says a different story. Fine, and we're talking now muktzah. These so muktzah the tiltul everybody holds only the rabbanim. Achana the rabba we paskin is the raisa. If it had an improper achana, you're not allowed to eat it. Then the second day, that's the din the raisa. But this sefer chinuch says is only it only appears in one case on the level of the raisa that beitzu should hold that the second day the esmo gomra law. Otherwise, what are you going to have? You cook the food on Yom Tov, the Shabbos, and Taisa said, that's not really called, that's not a din of Achana Deram. Only Adav HaChadosh, only Mamish Adav HaChadosh is called improper Achana. And Muktzah, so Muktzah LeTiltol is only the Rabbanon, like Zerah of Hoitzor. And Muktzah L'Achila, if it's Achana Derabba, that's their Raisa. And if it's Muktzah L'Achila, lacks Achana, didn't have Achana, most of the Rishonim holds only the Rabbanim. We don't hold like that Rashi. We pass on like the Rov Rishonim. The Muktzah L'Achila is only with the Rabbanim. And the Gemara Pesachim that came to the conclusion that Muktzah is only the Rabbanim, so the Shit Mukubetzus and Beitz explains that according to Rashi, that goes on Muktzah L'Hishtamshes HaNol Shal Kilui. That's only the Rabbanim. And Muktzah L'Achila remains deraisa. And Rov Rishonim disagree. Fine. So now the question is, what do you mean you have food that didn't have any hachana? What does that mean? What do you have food that didn't have hachana? Let's say I was out of town and I come back on Friday. I just make it by the skin of my teeth and I take a shower and I dress up, I go to shul. So I didn't have any hachana at all on any food in the house. So the answer is I didn't fly in from Mars today. I have a house full of food. So it's self-understood that whatever food is in the house, I may want to eat. The Shadas, but if I have, let's say, Pesach Dike Matzahs, Shmura Matzah, costs $25 a pound. They're very expensive stuff. And it's a week before Pesach. I absolutely do not plan to eat that Shmura Matzah on Shabbos. It's too expensive. But then I change my mind. I find out on Shabbos that I won the Irish sweepstakes, whatever, and I'm not going to use. I'm so rich, I can throw out all the matzah. I decide I enjoy shmur matzah. I enjoy the flavor. Instead of using challahs, I'm going to use. In the beginning of Shabbos, I didn't know that I'm so rich, so I thought shmur matzah is so expensive. I'm going to save it for Pesach. For next week is Pesach. And then in the middle of Shabbos, I changed my mind. I want to use it. So I didn't have in mind to use this matzah. So is that called muktzah? The matzah that I have in the house, that I clearly did not plan to eat, any food in the house, that if you would have asked me on Erev Shabbos, do you think you're going to eat it? I would have said, yeah. So that's called mukhan. I wasn't thinking about it consciously, but if you would have asked me, it's an umdim nimuch, I would have said, yeah, I reserve the right to eat anything in the house. Fleshiks, milchiks, anything. I'll eat anything. Usually, let's say, in the wintertime, the Shabbos is so short, so you're going to have fleshiks for the first meal, so you can't have milchiks for the second meal. It's not going to be 6 hours. So what if he has milk in the refrigerator? He says, no. He may wake up in the middle of the night. They may want to drink the milk at night. So if you would have asked him on Erev Shabbos, do you plan to eat the milk and the cheese? Yeah, he may eat everything. He may make the milchiks. He has popcorn. He has cracker jacks. He has whatever. Potato chips. Yeah, he may want to eat everything on Shabbos. But the Shmur Matzah, if you would ask me, absolutely not. You're not going to eat the Shmur Matzah on Shabbos. It's too expensive. So what's the din taka? So that's the original machloikas, Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. You have ice cream for a birthday party on Sunday. You would ask him on Erev Shabbos, do you plan to eat? He'd ask him, absolutely not. That's for the birthday party. Has the Shmur Matzah? Absolutely not. He doesn't plan to eat the Shmur Matzah on Shabbos. So Reb, that's the original machloikas, Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. Reb Yudah holds that's muktzah, and Reb Shimon holds it's not muktzah. What exactly is the machloikas? So Reb Yudah holds that you need hachonas habaylim, and if you would have asked the baylim on Erev Shabbos, he would have said, I do not plan to eat the ice cream or the shmur matzah on Shabbos. And all the other stuff he wasn't thinking, but if you would have asked him, it's an umdun nemuch, he would have said, yeah, I reserve the right to eat everything, anything in the house. I may want to eat it on Shabbos. But the ice cream and the shmur matzah, he would say, I do not plan to eat it. Reb Shimon holds that it's not a problem. Why does Reb Shimon hold it's not a problem? He holds that you don't need hachana. No, he agrees that you do need hachana. But he holds you don't need hachana sabaylam. He holds that all ochlam and kelim are mucha me'aleim. Mucha me'elof. But if it's clear that there was no hachana at all, let's say food comes into existence in the middle of Shabbos. Something, ochel or a kli, before Shabbos came, it wasn't an ochel at all. It came into existence as an ochel in the middle of Shabbos. So that's what Tosfos writes on the first daf in Beitza. If you have noilad gomer, Tosfos invented a new expression. If you have noilad gomer, something came into existence as a kli or as an oichel in the middle of Shabbos. Before Shabbos, it didn't exist. What do you mean it didn't exist? There's no bria yesh me'ayin after sheshes me'brej. I mean, it didn't exist in this form. It's such a panim chadoshes, this thing, everything is yesh me'yesh, spoiler mazeh. But it means it has such a panim chadash, such a new thing, that we consider it as if it came into existence in the middle of Shabbos. The Tosfos gives an example that there were kernels of grain, kernels of wheat on Erev Shabbos, and the Goy ground it up and he made it into flour on Yom Tov. So Tosfos said, that's panim chadash, that's a shinui. On Erev Shabbos it was chitim, and then they made it, Nochri made it into solus. No, he made it into solas. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do tochen. So a goy did the tchina, and Nochri did it. And then he gives me the flour. So Tosfos thinks that the flour, that on Erev Yom Tov, it was kernels of grain. And now it's a shinoi. Whatever shinoi is kainah, we have a whole, the end of Bava Kama. There's a din if a ganav steals something and it makes shinoi on it, he's not chayv to give it back, he has to pay the money. And the Gemara learns it out from the Machlekes Bishan and Misil by Yastan Zayna Mechir Kelev. You have a korban that's possible. Let's say someone went to a Zayna, Yastan Zayna, and he gave her a bottle of wine. And now she wants the Zayna feels guilty that she has a parnasa that's not so respectable. So the Zaynas always feel a little bit they need a kapara. So they'll donate it when you build a shul. They always donate money to the shul. That's apparently an old binnik. That the Jewish prostitutes donate a lot of money when they build a shul, because they feel the need a kapar. So in the Chumash, you have the din, the Zayna feels a little guilty, so she wants to donate the wine that her boyfriend, who paid her money for the znus, gave her an estan Zayna, he gave her flour, he gave her wine, wants to donate it as a korban. So the pasuk says it's puzzle. Estan Zayna mechir kelev is no good. What if he gave her grapes as an estan Zayna? She squeezes it out, she made it into wine. He gave her grain, and she grinds it up, she makes it into flour. So that's a machlokes bisham and bisila. And we pass it like bisila. That whenever there's a shinoi, so it's a different chepze, parim chadosh is bo'o lekan, and it's kosher lahakre v'al gabi hamizbeach. So based on that din of bisila, machlokes bisila bishamai, just like shinoi is considered a parim chadosh, it's a different chepze, and the psul of Estan Zayna no longer applies, so too the din is by the ganef. The din is behesha b'sagzela. If you stole something from somebody else that's worth $100, you can't just give him a $100 bill. You have to give him back the original chayfetz. But if you dyed it, I stole a sweater that had no color, and then I dye it a color, then I'm kind of b'shinoi. Or I stole kernels of grain, grind it up, and I made wheat flour out of it. Or I stole grapes and I made wine out of it. So just like shinoi takes off the psul of Estan Zayna, so shinoi is kaina. So the ganav no longer has a chiyav hashoga. Shinoi is considered a panim chadasha. So that's what Tosfos writes on the first page in Psachim, in Beitza, and they repeat it. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Whenever you have noilad gomer, something came into existence as an ochel or a kli in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yom. Before Shabbos didn't exist. Not that it didn't exist. There's no yesh me'ayin now. If the shesh is made bread, it means it's a panim chadoshes. In the form that it has now, it's a totally different form. Let's say they printed a newspaper. So on Erev Shabbos, you go to the plant where they print. So they have a big roll of paper. It's all rolled up. Then they have a big container of ink. Then they have the printing press, and the paper goes to the printing press, and it prints, and then they fold it up. So you look at the original thing as a big container of ink and a big roll of paper. Then at the end, I remember when I was a little boy, so they took us to the place where they printed the newspaper in Philadelphia. I used to go to public school. So that was they always took the children to the newspaper plant to show them how you print the newspaper. So they printed newspapers, everybody can understand. This is the paper and this is the ink, and they set the type and everything. It's not a mess. It's not l'mayla menateva. It's not so difficult to understand how they made the newspaper. But it's in Gantz and the Panim Chadosh, totally different form. So a newspaper that was printed on Shabbos would probably be Noilad Gomer, probably would be Muktzah. The Tosfos says, whenever something is Noilad Gomer, Bein l'Reb Shimon, Bein l'Reb Yehuda, that never had any hachana. It wasn't Huchan. Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, they both agree that you need hachana. For Oichlam Mekelim, you need hachana. The Machlekes Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon is, if you had the ice cream for the birthday party, you have the Shmura Matzah for next week is Pesach, and it's a nomad in the Muchacht on Erev Shabbos, if you would ask the Balabos, do you plan to eat the matzah? Do you plan to eat the ice cream? Say, absolutely not. That's for Pesach, that's for the birthday party. So according to Reb Yehuda, that's a lack of hachanim because you need hachanas abayim. And according to Reb Shimon, we say that all lechem mekelim amuchan me'aleim, if it was in existence on Erev Pesach, they had the box of shmur matzah is there. Even though the Balim are not making it, if you would have asked the Balim, he would say, beferish, I don't plan to eat it on Shabbos, but we say, all lechem mekelim amuchan me'aleim. But if it's a noilad gomer, the thing didn't exist in this form on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom. So you can't say it's mucha me'elof. It didn't exist in this form, then Reb Shimon would also agree. Since it lacks hachana, so that's going to be muktzah. That definition, that's Rav Soloveitchik's definition. That definition of the machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon, they both agreed he need hachana, but they argued they need hachana sabaylim. But they say it's mucha me'elof. Basically, that says in the Shiltas. He says kimat explicitly. When he presents, the Shiltas always takes, and every parsha, the Shiltas lived in the days of the Gaonim. He himself was not from the Gaonim. The Gaonim, the name of the yeshiva was Gaon Yankov. So whoever was the president of the yeshiva had to be the fundraiser. So he was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yankov. So some of them were prominent Talmid HaChamim, Rabbi Gaon, Rabbi Sherry Gaon, and others were fundraisers. They were good presidents. They raised a lot of money. Some of them were learning, some of them were not. So in the days of that, so it was a long name, Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yankov. It was a long name. So they called them the kids of the Gaonim. Not, they were not all Gaonim. And there were people who lived at that time who were great Gaonim. They were not the head of the yeshiva. They were not fundraisers. So Rabbi Achoy, the one who wrote the Shiltas, lived in the days of the Gaonim, but he was not the head of the yeshiva. He didn't have the burden of raising the money for the yeshiva. It was not from the Gaonim. He lived in the Tkufas HaGaonim. So he has on every seder, he has one or more drushes. He used to give a shir every Shabbos. So he always starts off the shir with a shayla. What's the din? A shilta. What's the din in this case? What's the din? Is it mutter to eat basa b'chalav? The answer is no. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Not allowed to eat basa b'chalav. Then he goes into the detail. What's the din? Are you allowed to do malach on Shabbat? No. It's a pasuk in Aseres Adibus. You're not allowed to do malach. Then every seder he has a shilta. What's the din in this case? So when he writes, when he poses the question of muktzah, what's the din of muktzah? So he writes, is it inid hachanas abaylim Or do you say, oh, Allah Echam Kelim, I'm Mucham Alem? So, oh, it's Machlek, it's a beauty, Reb Shimon. And he tells you how the psak is. So this definition basically is, Rav Soloveitchik said it very clearly, and the Shilta says it kimat explicitly, the way Rav Soloveitchik explained. Then here, what are the differences, Allah Chalamayis, between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon? So one machloikis is, chitim le'oitzar and tamri le'iska. I have a store adjacent to my apartment. I have a grocery store, and I sell the food there. So the food that I'm going to eat on Shabbos for myself and my family is in my apartment. The food in the store that's adjacent, that's what I'm going to sell to the customers next week after Shabbos is over. So if you have tamri le'iska, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, you have tomorrow and you have dates that you plan to sell to the customers. If you would have wanted to eat it yourself, you would have brought it into your apartment on Erev Shabbos. You didn't. You didn't bring it in. You left it in the store. So it's a, if you would have asked him on Erev Shabbos, he planned to eat it, he would say no. So the Shultas explained, that's Machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. They need Achanas Abaylim. So Tamir Le'iska, Tzomid Le'iska, Tzomid to be sold, it's Muktzah. But if you're all like Reb Yehuda, you don't need, if you're all like Reb Shimon, you don't need Achanas Abaylim. He said, all Echel is Muchameyelov. So it would be Muchameyel. So that's the one Machlekes, Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. Then Igmar has another Machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. There is a din of Basis Lidavah Ha'osar. What's Basis Lidavah Ha'osar? So the Gemara says, a flame on Shabbos, you have a candle that's lit. You don't want to eat in the dark. The Gemara says that the blind people don't enjoy the food as much as the people. We spoke yesterday, as much as the people who can see the food, because they, when they see the food with the color, so they, their mouth starts to salivate and they enjoy the food better. So the... So the Gemara says that if you have a cup of oil with a wick in it, in the days of the Tanaim, it wasn't so common to use wax candles. Mishnah talks about Shaiva, but it wasn't so common. They used to have oil with a wick, and they had a cup, a container that held the oil in it. So the Gemara says the cup with the oil with the wick is all muktzah. Why? Hanach l'ner shemet apsila. Ner is the cup, shemen is the oil, apsila is the wick. All three are muktzah. Why? Because it's buses because the flame on top is muktzah. Why is the flame muktzah? Why is the flame muktzah? So, and on Yontav, the flame is not muktzah. On Yontav, you're allowed to walk around with the candles. Let's say you only have the candles lit in the dining room where you're going to eat, and the kitchen there's light, and there's no candles in the bedroom. So you can take the candlestick on Yontav, you can take it to another room. You don't say that everything is muktzah because it's buses to the flame. Why is the flame muktzah on Shabbos, not muktzah on Yontav? So the Pashta says, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to light another flame from this flame. So the flame doesn't have ishtamshus. The light that emanates from the flame has ishtamshus. You're going to read le'or aner, but that's not being ishtamshus in the flame. That's being ishtamshus in the light that comes out from it. Ishtamshus in the flame is you want to light another candle from this candle that's lit already. So on Yontav you're allowed to light another candle from a candle that exists. So the flame has a ishtamshus. Ishtamshus means to handle, to use it. You have a clock hanging on the wall. I always look on the clock to see what time it is. That's not called ishtamshus in the clock. If the practice would be to take down the clock, you have paintings on the wall, or you have photographs on the wall. So some people take it down and they show the guests and then they put it back up. Take it down all the time. So that's a davar she'esh bo ishtamshus. If you have paintings or photographs on the wall and the practice in your home is you never take it down. So the Magen Avraham says that the paintings are muktzah, because it's a davar that doesn't have ishtamshus. Your practice is you never take it down until you change the wallpaper, until you paint the walls. But kolzman that you don't need a change of a wallpaper, you don't have to paint the walls, so you don't take it down. So it's considered davar she'esh bo ishtamshus. So on Yontif, the flame is a davar she'esh bo ishtamshus. You can be mishtamish in the flame itself by lighting another candle from the one that exists already. So on Yontif, the flame is not muktzah. On Shabbos, the flame is muktzah, and therefore, hanach l'ner shemet apsila, the cup and the oil and the wick, everything is a basis to the flame. So there's a din of basis. So the Mishnah, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. What about Moshe Shemesh Abiner? The woman benches licht on Shabbos, Friday afternoon, and then the wick burns till all the oil is used up, and then it goes out. But then you have a little oil left on the bottom, so the oil is clean. So let's say the oil is tasty. Can I after the flame already went out on Shabbos morning. I see that there's oil left over. Can I pour that oil into my vegetable salad in order that it should taste the shmaltzia? Moshe Shemesh had been there. So, Kolzman the Nair was delayed, Kolzman the flame was on, so everything below it was a buses davar os, but now it's no longer a buses. So that now enters the din of Migudis Katsoyle ben Ashmoshes is Katsoyle Kuliyam. So the Gemara presents that's a machlegs a beauty Reb Shimon Lishitosim somehow. Yeah. What kind of a din is that? Migudis Katsoyle ben Ashmoshes. It means all the laws of Mukta are established. We pass on that you do say Migudis Katsoyle. All the laws of Mukta are established Bein Ashmoshes, V'tchilas HaShabbos. Why is that so? The whole din of Mukta, we assume, is only with the Rabbana. So what's this din? The whole din of Mukta is only with Rabbana. It's Ke'en Deraisa Tikkun, it's patterned after Achana Derabba. That if it has an improper Achana, then you're not allowed to eat it. So Rashi holds that improper Achana is the equivalent of a lack of Achana. Lack of Achana is Mukta Deraisa. And everybody, all the other Rishonim say, no, it's based on a din Deraisa. Improper achana, you're not allowed to eat, but not Torah on the second day, Shabbos next to Yom. And a lack of achana, that's only midi rabban. But what is this based on? That migadis katsoyle ben, everything depends on midi hashmashes. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over the Avnei Nezer. He was very influenced by the Avnei Nezer. In Europe, in America, I don't think he had it, but in Europe, as a child, when he was growing up, he used to use the Avnei Nezer a lot. So a lot of the shurim, well, lock, stock, and barrel straight from the Avnei Nezer. Sometimes he would say B'Shem Amra, sometimes he would forget where he used to it. So this one he got from the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer says, call the Tikkun Rabbana Kein Deraisa Tikkun. This is the din on the level of Deraisa. On Shabbos, you're not permitted to do Malacha. Why? Because there's Kedushas Hayom. So what does that mean? So I would have said, if somebody would have asked me, nobody asked my opinion, I would have said, every minute of Shabbos has Kedushas Hayom, so you're not allowed to do Malacha. That's what the Chechanava Rebbe wrote in his Sefer. Every minute of Shabbos has Kedushas Hayom. And the Sachachava Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, the both Rebbe, Sachachava Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer said, no, the Ben Hashmashes of Tchilas HaShabbos is the Oyser for all of Shabbos, and that's why the Din der Rabbanan called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there as a Tikkun. Whatever was Mukta Ben Hashmashes remains Mukta throughout Shabbos, even though the reason why it's Mukta no longer applies. Why was the cup and the oil and the wick? Why was everything Mukta Ben Hashmashes? Because it was a buses. But 6 hours later, the wick goes out, the flame goes out, and you have Moshe Shemesh Ben Er. So there's no longer a reason why it should be a buses. The flame is no longer burning. So it really shouldn't be buses anymore. But we say, no, whatever was Mukta Ben Hashmashes, Migadis Katsoda Ben Hashmashes, remains Mukta throughout Shabbos. Why should that be so? So the Avnei Nezer explains, called the Tikkun Rabbana Kein Deraisa Tikkun, on the level of Deraisa, you have to abstain from Melacha on Shabbos, not because every minute has Kedushas Hayom. The Tchilas Hayom, the first moment of Shabbos, is Ben Hashmashes. You don't know when Shabbos begins. Ben Hashmashes, Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. The Osir of Melacha on Shabbos is the Tchilas Hayom. And this Din Migadis Katsoy works in the opposite direction also. Whatever was not Mukta before Shabbos does become Mukta in the middle of Shabbos. That's a Gemara. People misunderstand it to mean that nothing can become mukta in the middle of Shabbos. That's not correct. Let's say a person ate an egg and he leaves the shell behind. The shell is not Michael Adam and it's not Michael Dehena. Maybe there are some animals in the zoo who eat eggshells, but we don't have those animals in Washington Heights. We don't have those animals, so it's going to be mukta. The thing is going to be mukta. Whatever is Michael Adam and Michael Behemoth is not Muslim. It has to be Behemoth that's in the neighborhood. So the Shulchan Aruch says, in every neighborhood there are always dogs. So whatever is Michael Akelev is not going to be Muktzah. But not every neighborhood, if you live near the zoo, if you live near the elephants, so maybe the elephants eat the eggshells. I don't know. So maybe if you live, those who live near the zoo, so the eggshells wouldn't be Muktzah. But those who don't live near the zoo, so the eggshells are Muktzah. But before Shabbos it was Michael Adam. How does it become? The answer is, it changed. Before Shabbos it was an egg, it was Reil Achilas Adam. Now it's an eggshell, it's not even Reil Achilas Akelev. Let's say you have a bottle, a glass bottle, and the bottle smashes into tiny little pieces. So it's a piece of junk now. So the smashed pieces are mukta. Strictly speaking, you're not allowed to gather it together. We would say you're permitted to handle a mukta because you're afraid someone's going to walk and cut themselves, they're going to hurt themselves. Little children are going to hurt themselves. So then, whenever there's a chashash hezek, lacherim, so then you're allowed to be metaltal mukta, especially like a chodesh em b'sakana. You're allowed to be metaltal mukta. Tzlutal mukta is only a gzera. And for a chodesh em b'sakana, we're mata all gzeras. So you're permitted to do tzlutal mukta to prevent people from getting cut. But if not for that, this mesh bottle is mukta. Things can become mukta on Shabbos. But what the Gemara says is like this. Let's say I have an old suit, an old worn-out suit torn, but I'm not so rich that I can afford to buy a brand new suit. Then in the middle of Shabbos, I find out that I just won the Irish sweepstakes. And my wife insists that she throw out all the suits that I have. I have to buy all brand new suits. So I take the suit and I throw it in the garbage on Shabbos. I listen to my wife, throw it in the garbage. The Gemara says, Ela Meyato. So the Gemara in the end of Shabbos, Ela Meyato. Zorek L'Glime B'Shabbos Al-Khanami, that it's mukta. The guy has a perfect, not a perfectly usable. He has an old suit that's worn out. Frayed, torn here and there, but it's still a suit. A poor man would still wear the suit. So he throws the suit in the garbage in the middle of Shabbos. If he would throw it in the garbage before Shabbos began, he demonstrates that as far as he's concerned, it's a piece of junk. But he throws it in the garbage on Shabbos, so the Gemara, the Rishonim explain in the Gemara, Nigud de lois katsoi de ben hashmashes, lois katsoi for the rest of Shabbos. Since when Shabbos entered, the owner felt that it's a kli, it's a beged, he's going to wear it. Even though in the middle of Shabbos he changes his attitude, but the kli didn't change. It's not that the bottle smashed, or the egg, I ate up the egg and just left with the shell. So something changed there. So then it can become mukta, but it's the exact same thing, nothing really changed, just my attitude changed. But the change didn't occur in the chepze. So then we have a rule, whatever was mukta in the beginning of Shabbos remains mukta throughout. Whatever was not mukta in the beginning of Shabbos does not become mukta in the middle of Shabbos. It's because you changed your attitude. Everything depends on the beginning of Shabbos. Same thing we say when you make an Eruv Hechatzer is to be allowed to carry it in an apartment building. Minatora, the whole apartment building is one big Rishus HaYachad, so you can carry from one apartment to the other. Midirabbanan, the Gemara says, Shlaima HaMelech made a takana that if different families live in the different apartments, even though they're all Rishus HaYachad, Shlaima HaMelech came up with a new concept that on the level of the Raisa doesn't exist. There's a Rishus HaYachad, but then it's a tiltum. It's a Rishus HaYachad, you're not allowed to carry. From Rishus HaYachad, Shal Ruvin, to Rishus HaYachad, Shal Shimon, you're not allowed to carry. Unless you make an Eruv HaChatzeres. So the din is the Eruv HaChatzeres has to be made betchilos before Shabbos enters. If you had an Eruv HaChatzeres before Shabbos entered, even though the matzah for the Eruv HaChatzeres, the chalas were eaten up, they say you kind of the same thing. Tchum Shabbos, you kind of shvisa, then hashmashes of tchilos Shabbos. Tchilos Shabbos is koveya. A lot of other dinim also. Why? This is all based on the din deraisa. Called the tikkun rabbanan kein deraisa. Based on the din deraisa. The Tchilos HaShabbos is the Oyser B'Malocha for the rest of the Shabbos. There was a great Goyen who was known as the Kozhaglava Goyen. He was the rabbi in Kozhaglava before the First World War, I think the story goes. And then the First World War, the whole city Kozhaglava was destroyed, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere, Rabbi Meir Shapiro founded the Lublin Yeshiva in Lublin, a beautiful building with the cafeteria, with the dormitory. First time in the history of the world that they ever had such a fancy, beautiful building. Everything was taken care of there. So he invited this Kozhaglava Gaon to give the highest shiur in the yeshiva. So the Kozhaglava wrote several volumes that are called Eretz Tzvi. His name was Tzvi Frommer. So in one of the volumes, first volume, he writes about this machlokes between... He was a Talmud of the Sochet Shavah, Talmud of the Avni Nezer. He writes about the machlokes between the Sochet Shavah Rebbe and the Chechanover Rebbe, where the Chechanover Rebbe thought that every moment of Shabbos has Kedushas Hayoim, and every moment that has Kedushas Hayoim, Asas Ben Belocha. And the Sochet Shabbos had a Chiddush. No, it's the first moment of Shabbos, Chilas Knesses HaShabbos, is the Oyser for the rest of Shabbos. So he says, he found it's a Machlekes HaRishayna Beferish, Machlekes, the Rosh at the end of Moed Kotna has a Machlekes with his Rebbe, the Maharam Rutenberg. The story goes like this, very interesting. Shaila comes up, Halacha L'maaseh. Somebody died, so the relatives have to sit Shiva. So the relatives are before Bar Mitzvah not obligated to sit Shiva. There's a din of Chinuch, that a child before Bar Mitzvah, you have to see to it that he observes all the mitzvahs, they rise all the mitzvahs, they're abundant, even in Hogim. There's a din of Chinuch, even on the Hogim, the Gemara says. Klapan Hashainis, Anashana Rabbis, a Minig. There's a din of Chinuch. So for some reason or another, that's a question why there's a machlekes in the Gaonim, is there a din of chinach and avelus? So for some reason or another, we pass them, there's no din of chinach and avelus. So the child who is before bar mitzvah, let's say his father died or his brother died, if he doesn't want it, he doesn't have to sit shiva. If he's old enough to understand what it means his father died, he won't want to go to yeshiva. He wants to cry his heart out. But if he's so young, he doesn't understand what it's all about. So there's no din of chinach. There's no demichinach on avelus. So the shaila is, what if the child becomes bar mitzvah within 30 days of the death of the father? So there's a din of shmo kareiv and shmo rechoyka. The din of avelus only sets in when the relatives become aware that someone died. That's called shmua. There's a shmo kareiv. I heard about the death of the relative within 30 days of the relative dying. Shmo rechoyka means I heard about the death of the relative after 30 days passed by. So if it's a shmo rechoyka, I only found out about it after 30 days after the death, so then you only have to observe Avelus one day. And if it's a Shmo Kareva, I found out about it, let's say the whole family sat Shiva, and I wasn't notified until a week later, 2 weeks into the Shloshim Asav. So I have to sit Shiva, the whole Shiva and the whole Shloshim, you have to observe everything. If you found out Shmo Kareva within 30 days, so one has to observe all the dinim of Avelus. So the question is, someone died, and then there was a relative who was a kotten before bar mitzvah. So the din is he doesn't have to observe any avelus. But then the kotten shehigbil, the kid becomes bar mitzvah within 30 days after the relative passed away. So do you say, all right, Kozban, he was a kotten for whatever reason, the goyim came up with this idea, there's no chinach an avelus. But now that the child became bar mitzvah, and now he knows of the death of the relative, and he found that within 30 days, we should treat it like a shmok raiva. Now he should be mechuyev to observe avelus. So the Maharam Rutenberg says, yes, he's mechuyev to observe avelus. And he brings a raiva from the Gemara. There is a Gemara in the middle of Yevamos, and the Lamed, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet, something like that. If a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, so until he became bar mitzvah, he's only mechuyev to observe Shabbos mid Rabbanim, mitam chinuch. It becomes bar mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so the last few hours in the day is obligated to observe Shabbos ben Atur. How can it become bar mitzvah in the middle of the day? How is that possible? So there's one opinion that you become bar mitzvah me'eis le'eis. If you were born 3 o'clock in the afternoon 13 years ago on Zion Adar, you become bar mitzvah 13 years later, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the same day on Zion Adar. In Rishayim and in Achrayim, you have half of the Rishayim and half of the Achrayim hold like that. That's the Loshana Gemara. And neither the Gemara says that the Yudin will Loshana via Mechod is Me'eis Le'eis. That's what said the Gemara, Me'eis Le'eis. But we usually don't follow that opinion, even though it's half of the Rishayim and half of the Achrayim hold like that. Abba Soloveitcher used to laugh about that. He thought it was a big joke that you say Me'eis Le'eis, even though half of the Rishayim hold like that. So how, if you don't believe in that, how can a person become bar mitzvah in the middle of the day? So the Gemara gives a different case. The Gemara says, in order to be bar mitzvah, it's not enough that you have yud, gim, shonim, v'mecha. You need shonim v'simonim. The person, the child, has to have shtei sairis and the eva ha'ervo. The Gemara has a case. Let's say he already is 13 years old. He's already 13, 14, whatever. Hair didn't begin to grow on the eva ha'ervo. And then in the middle of Shabbos, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, how can it be? A far-fetched case, a theoretical case, never going to happen in a million years. Far-fetched case, the shtei saris grow, the beginning of Shabbos, he didn't have shtei saris. Middle of Shabbos, the shtei saris pop out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it becomes bar mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So until 3 o'clock, he was only obligated mid the Rabbanu to observe Shabbos, mid tam chinuch. After 3 o'clock, he's obligated to observe Shabbos, mid Torah. So the Maharam Rutenberg, the Rebbe of the Rosh, raises an issue. But he wasn't bar mitzvah when Shabbos entered. So why is he obligated to observe Shabbos later on? At the time of Ben Hashmashas, he wasn't bar mitzvah. So how does he become mechuyev later? So the answer is, ein dichrei etzol mitzvahs. He uses such an expression. It's a Gemara. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Gemara in Sukkah, whole sugya. Ein dichrei etzol mitzvahs. So Ben Hashmashas, even though he was a kotten, the Ben Hashmashas is mechayev him avur liachazman. If and when he'll become bar mitzvah on Shabbos, if he'll be maybe shtei saris at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Shabbos and whatever, then the Ben Hashmashas is mechayev him. He was Jewish. He was Jewish at the beginning of Shabbos, so Shabbos was relevant. So the Ben Hashmashas of Tchilas Shabbos was mechayev him to observe Shabbos if and when he'll become a gadol in the middle of Shabbos. So to over here, the mechayiv of avelus is timas hagadol, the gemar kvura of the person who died. So the gemar kvura, this timas hagadol, this person was a kotan, he wasn't yet bar mitzvah. But the timas hagadol is mechayiv him, if he will find out about the death of the relative within 30 days, it'll be mechayiv him to observe shiva and shloshim. If he'll find out about the death of the relative after 30 days, it'll be mechayiv him to observe avelus yamechot, shmor rechoyka in the hagasal yamechot. So that's what the Maharam Rutenberg brings as a mashal. Just like Bein Hashmashos of Shabbos is Machayv Kotten to observe Lachazman, if and when he'll be Nevish Dei Cyrus in the middle of Shabbos, so too the Stimus HaGodol is Machayv to observe Avelos if the Kotten will become Higdol later. So the Rosh says, my Rebbe passed away, Maharam Rutenberg passed away. It's not fair to disagree with the Rebbe after he died. If he'd be alive, he'd be able to rip me to pieces. And he uses the expression, "Emeshiv nesari lachamoso." If I fight with the lion will rip me to pieces. So I'm going to fight with the lion after the lion is dead. If the lion is dead, so he can't answer back. He can't fight back. So he said, "It's not fair. I'm going to disagree with my Rebbe after he passed away." But he says, "I don't understand what the Rebbe said. What's the mashal? In Hilchas Shabbos, every minute of Shabbos has kedushas hayayim. So in the beginning of Shabbos, he was a kotan, but at the end of Shabbos." He's a gadol, so that every minute has kedushas hayam. So Rashi says b'malacha now, but he says by avelus the din that stimus hagadol is mechayiv. The stimus, and if the time the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Rosh quotes it. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if the time of stimus hagadol there was no chiyav avelus, it doesn't come in later on. The Gemara has an example: someone was a rasha and he died. So strictly speaking, you don't observe avelus. But after he's buried, he gets a kapara. So then after he gets a kapar, so then he should be mechayiv and avelus. Gemara says, no, since at the time of the mechayiv, the time of stimus hagadol, he was a rasha, he didn't yet have the kapara, so the stimus hagadol is not mechayiv abu le'achazma. So he says, how does the Rebbe say, how does Maharam Rutenberg say, that if the child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of shloshim, he's obligated to observe the shiva shloshim? Why? But at the time of stimus hagadol, it wasn't mechayiv him. So it can't be mechayiv le'achazma. And Shabbos, when the child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, not because the Ben Hashmashos is mechayiv babu lachazman. Ben Hashmashos is not mechayiv. Every moment of Shabbos has kedushas hayam. That's why you're not allowed to do malach. So that's what the Kosher Glover writes. This machlekes that he saw between the Sochet Shaver of Israel, Sochet Shaver of David Ezer, against the Chechanover Rebbe put out a siddur. I forgot what it's called already. Tzulusa d'Avram, with supposed to be very lamdashir comments. I remember my father liked it very much. I was too young to look at it, so I never looked at it. Father said it's very good. Tzulusa d'Avram, right? So the Kosher Glover points out that this machlekes between the two tzaddikim and his generation, between the Avnei Nezer and the Chechanover Rebbe, is really machlekes the Rosh and the Maharam Rutenberg. And the Avnei Nezer Tainis, you see from all the dinim and the Gemara that the Ben Hashmashos of Tchilas HaShabbos is the Korveh. So that's what this din is based on. This din, Nigudis Katzoy the Ben Hashmashos, is Katzoy the Kilama. Whatever was Mukze in the beginning of Shabbos will remain Mukze throughout Shabbos. And the reverse also is true. Whatever was not Mukze in the beginning of Shabbos cannot become Mukze in the middle of Shabbos unless it undergoes a change. I ate up the egg and I'm left with an eggshell. So now it's a piece of junk. Now it's muktzah. I had a bottle and the bottle smashed in tiny little pieces. So now it's a piece of muktzah, but it didn't change. I just had this old worn-out suit. At the beginning of Shabbos, I was a poor man. In the middle of Shabbos, I realized I'm a multimillionaire and I throw it out in the garbage. So even if Zorik leglim ala ashpa, even if he throws the old suit in the garbage, it doesn't become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. Nothing changed in the suit. He changed. He decided, his attitude changed. He decided that's garbage. But nothing changed in the suit. So since at the beginning of Shabbos, it wasn't muktzah. It can't become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. So all these dinim, and Yekoyne Shvisa, Tchum Shabbos, is Nikva, where are you at the beginning of Shabbos? And Rubi Chatzeris depends, Yekoyne Erev is Koyne, but Chilos HaShabbos. All because, called the Tikkun Rabban, Kein Daraisa Tikkun, on the level of Daraisa, it's like that. So the Gemara says, Bein L'Rabbi Yehuda,
we also say that you can't compare Shabbos to Avelis because on Shabbos the Kotel is Chayim and Chilek before, but Avelis is not Chayim and Chilek before?
On the level of the Rabbanon, he's chayv. On the level of the Raisa, he's not chayv. So, and nonetheless, when he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, the Ben Hashmash of Tchilas Shabbos is mechayv him lachazman. So on that level, on the level of the Raisa, he wasn't mechayv in anything before. Yeah. So this principle of migadis katsoy, all the Tanaim agree. The Gemara has machlokes of Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Moshe Shemesh Abiner, where they say Migadis Katsoy not. But there are other cases, even Reb Shimon would agree that you say Migadis Katsoy. Where would that be? So the Gemara says, Moide Reb Shimon is a Gemara in Kira, Perikira. Moide Reb Shimon, because Kira Vashoshes. They have a yahrzeit candle that you light it and it burns for 25 hours. Or you have a candle that, and when they're sitting ship, they have a candle that burns for 7 days. So let's say the person lit a candle that's supposed to burn for 25 hours, and then it blew out in the middle of Shabbos. But we didn't really expect it to go out. We thought it's going to burn throughout Shabbos. From the perspective of Ben Hashmashes, we thought that the Kos Kaira Ner Shemen Apsila, the cup and the oil and the wick, Erev Shabbos it was a buses because the flame was burning. And from the perspective of the Arab Shabbos, it looked like there isn't going to be any lachazman. It was so much oil, it was going to burn for 24 hours. Then in the middle of Shabbos, something happens, and the flame goes out. So the Gemara says, even Reb Shimon would agree that he's saying, Migadis Katsoy. Since it was buses, Bein Hashmash, it remains buses throughout the Shabbos. The only time Reb Shimon disagrees with Reb Yehuda, and he holds he don't say Migadis Katsoy, is if he had a cup of oil with a wick burning on Erev Shabbos, and we could have predicted every Shabbos the flame goes out at 1 o'clock at night, and then there's always leftover oil. There's always going to be leftover oil. So then it's a machleg sabir, shimir abyud, what they say, migris katsoy. But if he lit an air, kos karev ashoshes, that looked like there's so much oil to burn for 25 hours, then somehow by accident the candle blew out and wasn't expected, even Reb Shimon would agree that you do say Migadis Katsoy. Why is that? That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. According to Reb Yehuda, that you need Achonas Abaylim. So Ben Hashmashes, he lit the candle, he lit the nair, and so right now it's a buses. So according to many Rishonim, since now it's a buses, he has no right to be miyachedit for lachazman. He knows in advance they're going to go out in 5-6 hours, but it's like a dobshal aboli olam. He's not a bailaman now. Right now it's muktzeh. Right now it's buses. Beginning of Shabbos, he has no right to be mazmenit abu lachazman. So since Reb Yehuda l'shitas requires achanas abailim, so the bailim is nishken bailim over here. But according to Reb Shimon, you don't need achanas abailim. So since we know in advance it's going to go out in the middle of Shabbos, so Ben Hashmashes, it's Muchan Abur Liachazman. When Likeshe Yikov HaNer, when the Ner will go out, so then it's already Muchan from Erev Shabbos to use the Shemen after it goes out. But that's only if there's a foreseeable Liachazman from the perspective of Ben Hashmashes. But if they lit in one of these yahrzeit lamps that's going to burn for 24 hours or for 7 days, in a row, and from the perspective of Ben Hashmashes, it doesn't seem that there is going to be any lachazman. There is no foreseeable lachazman. It's going to burn the whole time. Then even Reb Shimon would agree that you do say Migadis Katsoy. So in principle, they both agree. They just argue about the details. So the Gemara has, similar to that, would be a machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon in two additional cases. Let's say you had chicken on Erev Shabbos. So the chicken on Erev Shabbos is called Michael Odom. You finish eating all the chicken on the bones, you're left with the bones. So the bones are Michael Behem. Truth of the matter, nothing changed. On Erev Shabbos, the bones are also not edible. So the Rashi asked that on the first page in Beit. So he says, he judged the whole piece of chicken as one thing. The chicken is Michael Odom. When you finish eating the chicken, you're left with bones. The bones are Michael Behem. So it's Michael Lonim Shenishtan Aliyas Michael Behema. Michael Behema, if it would have been Michael Behema on Erev Shabbos, it would not be Muktzah. But it was Nishtana over here. That's Noila Che'ena Gomer. Noila Gomer means it came into existence in the middle of Shabbos, such a Panim Chadosh, it's Bo'olakan, such a difference. They ground up the kernels of grain, they made flour out of it, or they printed the newspaper, something like that. Something that's Noila Gomer, that didn't exist at all on Erev Shabbos in this form. So even Reb Shimon would agree that that's Muktzah. Here was Noila Che'ena Gomer. I had a Kli on Erev Shabbos, and the Kli smashed on Shabbos. Now, it doesn't have the same Ishtamshas as before. It has a totally different Ishtamshas. So Kli Eish and Ishtana to be Kli B, that's a Machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah, whether it's Muktzah or not. But if before Shabbos it was a big Kli, and now it's a smaller Kli, the same Ishtamshas, but it's a different size, that's a Hemshech of the original Kli. So that even Reb Yudah would agree that that's not Muktzah. But if it's totally different ishtamshos of the kli, it used to be whatever, a table, and now it's a footrest. That's a totally different ishtamshos. So even though there was no moment of time that it was not a kli, it was nishtana from kli A to become kli B, or nishtana from Michael A to become Michael B. When Shabbos began, it was Michael Adam. It was chicken. And then you ate up all the chicken, in the middle of Shabbos became Michael Behema. The bones are Michael Behema. So Michael Eish and Ishtanalias Michael B, or Kli Eish and Ishtanalias Kli B. The Kli Smesh and Oisamei Malacha, however, ain't Oisamei Malachton HaRishayna. Doesn't have at all the same Ishtamshah that I had in the beginning of Shabbos. So that's a Machlokes Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. So according to Reb Shimon, the Gemara said, according to Reb Shimon, if it was wobbly and we expected it to break, or we expected, we planned to eat the chicken. On every time we plan to eat the chicken, we plan that it's going to be left over the bones. So since we were planning that, so Reb Shimon would say, it's mulchem me'ila v'abu li'achas man. But according to Reb Yudah, that you need achanas abaylam, so you can't say there's achanas abaylam. It's like a dovish l'abu li'aylam. You're only abaylam on the Michael Adam. Right now it's Michael Adam. The Michael Behemoth didn't come into existence yet. If it would really be a panim chadosh abu li'achan in the middle of Shabbat, that's no la gomer. It's no la gomer. Even Reb Shimon agrees would be muktzah. It's Noila Che'ena Gomer. It was a Michael in the beginning, it was a Kli, but it's Nishtana from Kli A to Kli B. So that's where the Gemara discusses the original Pshat. What does this have to do with Reb Yudah? So they said Reb Yudah by Muktzah, not that Reb Yudah argues with Reb Meir. That's going to be the second Pshat on Tezva. Reb Yudah argues with Reb Shimon about the Hilchas Muktzah, and it's a Stam Mishnah like Reb Yudah. Not so rare, okay? It's unusual, but it's not that rare. The Stam Mishnah is like Reb Yudah, that is going to be Muktzah for the duration of Shabbos. Yeah. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the details. Okay. Kli Neder Sunday. People interested in the Chazaring on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Okay. When the Bechina is going to be on Wednesday. Good. Okay. And I'm going to be here for sure.